Hello and welcome to the Generation for Change, a podcast series brought to you by the committee members of the G4C Southwest, part of the Constructing Excellence organisation. My name is Jenna and I am the current G4C Chair in Cornwall within the G4C Southwest, and I will be your host for today's podcast as I chat to James Bishop, National Digital Technology Manager at SES, which is part of Waits Group. James Bishop, welcome. As you may be aware, the committee members of the G4C Southwest have been interviewing a broad range of individuals who are involved in the construction and engineering industry to demonstrate the variety of roles and opportunities available. We are really looking forward to hearing more about your role as National Digital Technology Manager. Waits Group is one of the largest family-owned construction, development and property services companies in the UK. James lives in Exeter and works in the London office. Can you explain to the listener exactly what it is you do for Waits Group as a National Digital Technology Manager and how this fits into the wider Waits Group's teams?
Sure. So I'm responsible for the strategic direction and governance for the procurement and implementation of all things ConTech or construction technology across the whole of Waits Group. So I'm employed by SES, as we're kind of the home of innovation within the group. And very much as a business, that's our brand. But what that means for us is that ConTech obviously covers a wide array of things, but for the most part, it's focusing on the use of digital technology to enhance the working lives of all of our colleagues and create avenues for our businesses to enhance our sites, either by reducing risk, enhancing profit, or saving time.
Brilliant. And if we wanted to understand what a typical day or week for someone in your role was like, how would you describe it?
Well, a bit of a cliche, but every day is different. Obviously, this podcast is something that's different. But I'd say that the thing I spend the most amount of time doing is with people. It's a lot of strategic kind of negotiation, getting people to understand the vision of the business, where I'm trying to drive the company in terms of technological standardization. Especially as this is a new role to the business and the industry. There aren't a huge amount of digital technologists or digital technology managers currently. A lot of my time is kind of helping the business realize the benefit of this position and kind of steer it into where it needs to go in terms of the future. In terms of actual work I'm doing, we're currently focusing a huge amount of effort on the digitalization of our design management and estimating processes to kind of give a smarter way of working for our colleagues in those teams and to streamline that process. So that's kind of my current project as such.
Brilliant, thank you. So what would you say has been your biggest career highlight to date?
So I've always said that when I retire, any of the projects I used to work on will no doubt be rebuilt or completely destroyed and knocked down by that point. Whereas the people that I've worked with and looked after and managed and mentored will still be there. And I'd like to think that when I look back, when I finish my career, I'll still see those people thriving in their own careers. And so I think kind of a career for me is, well, the career highlight for me is helping those professionals. And I've helped a few over the years, whether mentoring directly or indirectly. And I've had even members of my own team come to me and say that the reason that they wanted to start a career in digital construction was just from having simple conversations with me, whether they were in a different role in construction. And I talked to them about what I do and what the kind of future is, and that excited them. So they've then moved into this career. That's kind of been something that I found really kind of satisfying for myself, kind of to know that through my impact, other people are realizing their own passions, which is what I find kind of really great.
Definitely. What would you say is your favourite thing about your current role?
I'd have to say it's the travel. I do a fair bit of travel across the UK. Being a national role, obviously, it's part of the job. I left school and went straight into I went straight into a job as a CAD apprentice. So I never really took a gap year. I didn't go down the traditional route of a degree or anything like that. So I didn't really get much time to do travelling or of any kind. So I find that now having the opportunity to travel around our own country and sometimes into Europe gives me the opportunity to do that and also not have to worry about the bill, which is always a win. And also I'm a huge foodie, so being able to have an excuse to eat anywhere and everywhere I can while I'm traveling with work is always a benefit.
That does sound perfect. So the aim of these podcasts is to encourage young people to start a career in the construction and engineering industry. Can you explain a bit more about your journey to National Digital Technology Manager and when you decided it was a career of choice for you?
Sure. It's an interesting one because I would say I never knew where I was going to end up. I always had a goal or a plan. But if I probably found the document that I wrote when I was 18 and started my career of what I wanted to be in 10 years time, I don't think this would have even come across my mind. I would have probably ended up being a chartered engineer of some kind. So I left school after dropping out of my A-levels and I went and did a BTEC in engineering. And then I was really lucky that once I finished that level three BTEC, I got a position as a trainee CAD technician at AECOM, which is a global design consultancy. I was based out of Exeter then. And I joined the business just as they rolled out the mandate that everything must be modeled in 3D. So I kind of came in just as the whole business was learning to do it. It wasn't I was learning and everyone else already knew it, as we were all learning together. So I think that kind of gave me a bit of an advantage. And because I grew up as a gamer, I found that using Revit was just as the same as playing The Sims or any games I'd played while I was growing up. So I kind of took to it quite quickly and picked up some skills very fast. So then just after like 2 years of joining the industry, I ended up delivering training to departments for that business across the UK, as well as training up new recruits who joined the business locally. And then whilst at AECOM, I did a HNC in mechanical engineering. And then I was fortunate that they sponsored a degree as well in building services engineering. I decided that halfway through that degree, I'd actually leave AECOM. I wanted to try my hand at contracting. I felt that the consultancy world, although exciting working on huge schemes, for me, I wanted a bit more hands-on experience. So I moved into the M&E contracting world, where I joined a regional M&E contractor down here in the Southwest. I joined them as a BIM engineer. They wanted me to come in and help their business grow in terms of understanding of BIM. I very much did that over the following 2 years. That was during COVID. So, you know, very kind of crazy time for the whole world of construction at that point in time. We were working on all sorts of centres and facilities for the NHS during that. The business brought in people to work for me. So I was training up BIM technicians and apprentice CAD technicians during that time. Which then meant I became the manager for that business, BIM manager, and I was responding to tenders, working with contractor clients, as well as analysing other models. So I got a lot of experience being a smaller company. I kind of got around every single project, every single aspect of that business. So it was a huge development opportunity for me. I then had an opportunity come up where Kier were looking for a regional manager for Devon and Cornwall for BIM. So I joined that business after some negotiation and actually two job applications. I joined Kier as BIM manager for the Devon and Cornwall business. There'd been quite a large gap in time from when the person who previously held the role left to when I joined. So there was a bit of catch up to do before I started to get into like, what I wanted to do with the business, because very much I had that opportunity to kind of drive it myself. After about a year and a half in the role, we actually brought a person to work in alongside me as a senior BIM coordinator. First time I'd managed someone who was hugely capable, rather than having to train someone up completely from scratch. It was somebody come in who had a decade of experience and was brilliantly talented. So it was a very different experience for me there, but still very much something I was hugely passionate about, being able to look after that person. And whilst at Kier, I also was then fortunate enough to become accredited as a chartered manager. So I'm now a chartered manager of the CMI. It kind of reinforces all the work I've been doing supporting people throughout my career. But I transitioned then from BIM management through to digital construction. Digital construction being more focused around technological applications and implementation. And it's in this time that I realized I really love doing technology-based solution problem solving. Working at the cutting edge of what construction technology can be. I'm a bit of a techie guy anyway, so if I get the opportunity to play with stuff as part of my job, I'm always going to try and make the most of that. So we ended up doing a lot of really great work at Kier using things like reality capture technology, as well as automations and different workflows and changing people's perspective on what technology can be. and which naturally led me to this role, where I've taken that step from a regional level up to a national level now, working across governance for 4 or 5 businesses within a group. So yeah, it's not probably the most straightforward path. It's very much a meandering route that I've taken to get to where I am. It's not something I would have ever thought I'd ended up doing, but it's very much something I love doing. I'm very lucky to say that the job I do is something I really love, and I don't really feel like I'm working half the time, which I feel very lucky to be able to say that. And I'm surrounded by a great group of people. It's a very supportive business, and yeah, there's not anything I would change about my career or any decision I've made today.
Brilliant. It sounds like you've had an extensive career already. And so with that in mind, where do the career routes from National Digital Technology Manager lead you to?
So SES celebrates innovation and encourages people to push themselves to be the best they can be. But in terms of where I'm going to end up in the future, I haven't really got an idea. I've always been one of those people that likes to have an idea in mind of targets to set and goals to aim for the what's next. So no matter whenever I've been in a position, I've gone, oh, well, this position will lead to the next position and so on. But I think this is actually the first time for me in my career where I'm not actually looking at anything like that. I'm pretty set on like focusing on the work we're doing. It's, you know, it's really innovative stuff. I'm really excited about the work I'm doing. And I'm actually just, yeah, focus on being this role. Naturally, there will be progression, I'm sure. But what that is, because this is such a new field to the industry and to this business, I don't really think it's that defined. And that doesn't concern me either, because I think it also gives me the opportunity to define it myself.
Got it. Thank you. To what extent will Waits Group support your further education?
So, yes, there's a lot of encouragement around personal and professional development here at Waits. So I'm currently in discussion about undertaking a master's degree. It's something I've always been adamant that I don't want to do. But I have found a course that I think is really exciting, and the business are willing to support that. So through degree apprenticeships and things like that, they're really happy to do that. And I think that course will fill some gaps in my current experience. For junior staff members, the company will always sponsor them to undertake degree apprenticeships, as well as seniors. You have to be in the career for X amount of time or whatever to be able to do that. You can just go, and if it's something that aligns with your progression, the business will be willing to support it. Ben Jowett, who's the head of digital construction engineering, he's recently completed a PhD, which was co-sponsored by Waits Group. So they're very much not, there's no restriction to what you can do and how you can do it. The business is always willing to support people to become the best they can be.
Brilliant. Sounds loads of support for you all at Waits Group and SES. Further education was a very different landscape 10 to 15 years ago, not least due to the increase in university fees. Can you let us know a bit more about the opportunities to work at Waits Group, such as internships, placements and work experiences?
Yeah, certainly. So we recruit positions from level 2 apprentices as well as level 3, which covers a variety of roles from office-based positions in administration and labour on site to tradespeople. We do that once a year around February time. We then also have an intake into our management trainee scheme, which is targeting college and university leavers. And this covers a variety of roles and generally opens up in mid-October. This year, we've had over 100 management trainees join the group across the country, as well as 50 level 2 and the 3 apprentices. As part of the trainee recruitment, we do also offer year out placements for students who are currently studying, as long as those subjects aligned with our business, like quantity surveying, project management, design management, etc. And finally, we also offer a variety of placement opportunities for T-level students within the Waits Construction business.
Brilliant, thank you. Moving on to the construction and engineering industry more generally, what are the key issues and themes you personally think need to be addressed in the next few years or decades?
So I think the industry has a massive cultural issue with embracing change. I think it's kind of hinged on being so risk adverse, especially in the contracting world. Obviously, it's a very volatile world, as you've seen over the kind of last few years, with a few kind of big name contractors going into administration. But that risk aversion also then hinders a lot of innovation and positive change, which to those of us who are trying to work and push and change the industry for better, It can be tricky to do so when it's the company who has to front that bill. But I see a lot of good change across the industry as a whole coming. And I think technology is only going to be an accelerant for that at a rate that we've probably never seen before within businesses, as well as people and companies start to pull tangible benefits out from artificial intelligence and machine learning, and we start to unlock the real benefit in our industry. I think personally, there's always been an irony in companies saying that they're going to bring in a fresh pair of eyes when they're recruiting new staff to change businesses' function. But then they're still recruiting from people within the construction industry, because how can a fresh set of eyes be from the same industry that you've all worked in previously for your entire careers? So I think as new job roles are created, business starts to recruit from other sectors like manufacturing, pharmaceutical, and finance, as et cetera, and any other. I think this is where our industry is going to see a huge cultural shift, because you'll bring in where in our industry we see things as, cutting edge, like data lakes and artificial intelligence and machine learning. You go into the energy sector, and they've been doing that for 15, 20 years by this point. So to them, it's old hat. So I think that's where we're going to see huge change over the next few years as the sectors become more overlapping in terms of the functionality.
Thank you, James. What do you think in the construction and engineering industry is doing well in terms of addressing issues?
So I think there's an ongoing issue in the industry as a whole, but seeing such a diverse range of people within roles and across within all roles and across all levels within our business here at Waits has been really refreshing for me. I think it's been a problem for the industry as a whole for years, trying to bring in talent from different backgrounds, different demographics, different genders of all kinds, to bring that diverse approach into it. And I think you can't really approach a project really if you've all got a similar background, a similar upbringing, a similar perspective on life, when construction can be approached in so many different ways. And so I think that something we do really well at Waits is something I've actively noticed is the diversity of the people that I'm working with now on a daily basis, from all over the world as well. And I think that's really refreshing. And I think that's something the industry is striving to improve across it. And it's great to see that this business has definitely taken that.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you so much for your time today, James. One final question. If you had to describe the construction and engineering industry in three words, what would they be?
Slowly changing perspective.
Brilliant. Thank you, James. Thank you so much. Catch up with you all soon. Thank you.